FM Rewind, File 88.1.
Well, we are going to talk about a groundbreaking HIV cure trial, which was conducted in Durban. And according to research, it was demonstrated that, promising results emerge in achieving antiretroviral therapy-free virus control. The trial shows that 20% of the participants living with HIV and AIDS were found to be virally suppressed a year later. That was after taking the ART that we spoke about, the antiretroviral therapy-free virus control. Perhaps this leads to HIV cure or advanced treatment. I mean, it is concerning because year in, year out, especially in South Africa, we see a rise in HIV due to the fact that there are more people becoming newly infected with HIV than there are people with HIV who are dying. In simple terms, the number of people living with HIV in South Africa, according to research, continues to rise, surpassing 8 million in 2024. And this is according to a research that was released estimating that there are more people getting infected. We see more cases and there's a rise in HIV infected individuals. On the line, we are joined by Dr. Zakhethi Mkhize, who is a qualified scientist, content creator, YouTuber with a PhD in medicine from UKZN, majoring in virology. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
I mean, year in, year out, we continue to see a rise in HIV infections. What could be the reason behind this, even when we have so many platforms that could at least bridge coming between and help individuals get more educated, informed about HIV? What could be the reason?
Well, it's actually still the lack of that. It's the lack of education and awareness, particularly amongst the youth. The youth in South Africa, they are disproportionately affected, by HIV. And actually, a shocking statistic is that in 2021, the youth, young people from the age of 15 to 24, accounted for 63% of new infections. So over half of new infections that we see come from young people in this age group. And I think the major problem is that we are not getting to them early enough. Like I said, it starts at 15, this age group, and we really need to be educating kids as young as 12, 13 about the importance of practicing safe sex and protecting themselves from getting infected.
I mean, it is indeed concerning, Doctor, that young people are getting infected, and we also see young people losing hope and not taking medication as many times or as frequent as they supposed to be. But from the new infections that you've mentioned between the ages of 15 to 24, I know that you did mention the lack of using protection during intimacy. But what are other reasons behind this?
I think particularly in young women in South Africa, they engage because of their socioeconomic status. So, women who come from underprivileged backgrounds engage in transactional sex where they are engaging with older men who may not want to use a condom. And because the women find themselves in these vulnerable positions, they don't really have the power, to say no if the man does not want to use protection. And that's where PrEP comes in, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. But that's a whole nother conversation. But I really think that it's the lack of being empowered and these young women being in vulnerable positions where they are unable to really, lead when it comes to sex.
Mm. Now, when I introduced this interview, I spoke about a groundbreaking HIV cure trial that was conducted in Durban, South Africa. And according to research, it has demonstrated promising results in achieving antiretroviral therapy, which is also known as a free virus control. And it got me thinking because of this being a discussed cure for HIV and AIDS for years and year in, year out. We see so many people, especially, you know, who are in the research department coming up with new ways and theories stating that, well, the cure for HIV and AIDS is coming. It is here. But how true is this groundbreaking HIV cure trial? And could this be perhaps a victory?
Absolutely. So I just, as you know, this, like you said, the research took place in Durban, which is my hometown, actually at the lab where I did my PhD. So the results are promising because we have not seen anything like this before. But I just want to make it clear there is no cure for HIV. What this trial is referring to is a functional cure. Like you said, these participants, 20%, were able to achieve viral control in the absence of ARVs or ART, like you mentioned.
Wow.
Yeah. So what happened in this trial is that people who became infected with HIV very early, they started taking their treatment. Then when they become undetectable, so when a person becomes undetectable, their viral load is very low. And this is what we want, because when a person is undetectable, they are untransmittable, which means they cannot pass, it's not easily passed on. The virus is not easily passed on. So once they were virally suppressed or undetectable, they then underwent an ART interruption. So they came off treatment. And then they were given immunotherapy, combination immunotherapy, which boosts a person's natural immune system. Then they were able to control the virus in the absence of treatment. They are not cured from HIV. So they still remained undetectable, which meant untransmittable. And this is what we refer to as a functional cure.
Amazing, indeed. I think it is a victory, and many people should partake in this trial to make sure that, you know, they stay safe at all times. But doctor, does this mean that once a person either is injected with this antiretroviral therapy, which is which we did mention that it's a free virus control, does this mean, is it once off, or do they have to regularly go back to get more doses?
So in this case, because it's a clinical trial, these people are monitored very closely. I just want to make it clear, in the trial, they were not taking ART in the form of injectables. It was just normal oral ART, which they were taking until they became virally suppressed or undetectable, and then came off this ART and got this combination immunotherapy. So I'm not sure how long, and, you know, in terms of periodically, maybe they go every month or every week to get these boosters, immune boosters, which allow them to then be able to control the virus in the absence of ART. So these people, like I said, because it's a clinical trial, they are monitored very closely. You know, the details of the trial have not been released, you know, in terms of scientific publication yet, as it's still early days.
Now, I want us to talk about a major challenge, especially facing young people who are at risk of contracting the HIV virus, young people who are living with HIV and AIDS. One of the major challenges they raise is the challenge to access, especially to medication access. How can we then bridge the gap? Because when you go to rural areas, when you go to townships, you get so many people who complain about lack of access to medication.
Yeah, this is a major problem in our country, I think, with healthcare in general. You know, unfortunately, this is a governmental problem, but I think what we can do in order to help is have, you know, it's just unfortunate that also we just had Trump freeze U.S. aid, which also contributes, you know, to funding ART in our country. So we need to really call on the private sector in our country to contribute, you know, towards research in HIV, but more importantly towards funding treatment, you know, so that more people get access. In South Africa, the private sector only contributes 2%, you know, to HIV in general. So I think it's really important for us to call on the private sector at this time.
Now, earlier on, we spoke about the new infection rising among the among young people who are between the ages of 15 to 24, and we need to have a solution to avoid young people being infected and contracting the virus. How do we raise awareness in this day and age in a different way that could at least speak to these young people and also minimize their chances of contracting the virus? Is there perhaps a strategic awareness that you'd like to advise within the young population?
Well, absolutely. This is what I advocate for. You know, as you mentioned, I'm a content creator. I create a lot of content around healthcare topics, particularly HIV, you know, things about science, as I'm a woman in STEM, etc., and how we can, you know, really help the next generation of scientists and young people that are growing up. So using platforms like social media, I love that because young people love that. So that's one of the ways in which I personally, you know, try and push awareness. But like I said in the beginning, we need to be having campaigns in high school, you know, and kind of framing them in a different way than having an adult come and tell you not to have sex or not to have unprotected sex. We need to have campaigns that are exciting for teenagers so that we're able to go into the schools, like I said, from grade 8, grade 9, before they even reach this scary kind of age group, which is 15 to 24, which we've seen a lot of infections in. So I think that's the way, the social media, the campaigns in high school as well.
Indeed, Doctor, great news that you're talking about, and I love the social media strategy that you advocate for, the social media strategy that you'd like other people, especially within various campuses. We have various clinics within various campuses all over South African universities and colleges. We also have clinics within our respective rural areas and township areas. So we need to make sure that we raise awareness consistently, because if you go to rural areas and townships, that's where you find young people prone to such infections that we're talking about. So it's very important for us to make sure that we constantly speak about these infections, constantly speak about ways to avoid and prevent getting contracted or, you know, contracting this virus. And once again, thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us right here on Voice of Vets 88.1. And speaking of the trial, are there any chances that perhaps it could be rolled in other areas such as your Gauteng province, your Limpopo province? Any chances?
Yes, it's coming. It's just that, like I said, clinical trials, it's tricky because they take time. You know, there are a lot of processes that they need to go through. But definitely with the promising results that we've seen, and once we also get to understand what is different about these 20% of people who are still able to control the virus about a year and a half later without taking treatment, what is special about them. So once we have more information about the clinical trial, it'll definitely be rolled out, and more people would be involved in different provinces, even in different countries, I'm sure.
All right, lovely. And I love the fact that more people will then get more updates regarding the trial on your on the platforms that you use to educate people, and also, you know, inform people about, you know, the diseases and the viruses that are among us. For those who'd like to get hold of you for more updates, how can they do that?
So I go by Black Girl Scientist on Instagram and TikTok, and at @Zaki_M on Twitter.
All right, that is that is Black Girl Scientist on Instagram and Twitter, right?
Yes.
All right.
TikTok.
Oh, TikTok. Amazing. Black Girl Scientist. Please make sure that you search her, follow her, and consume her phenomenal content, educational content, I may say. Black Girl Scientist. Once again, Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. Have a splendid long weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Lovely. That was our expert joining us on the line, Doctor Zakiti Mkize, who is a content creator, qualified scientist, and a YouTuber with a PhD in medicine from UKZN. Please make sure that you follow her. She is at Black Girl Scientist on Instagram and TikTok.
FM Rewind, File 88.1.